Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I was hoping that instead of sitting around all day, we would have came to a conclusion a little earlier just with that forecast. Just with the fortunate that we do go back to Cincinnati later on in the year and can make up that game with hopefully better weather. So, but as far as safety there in the clubhouse, we are all concerned at all times just because the unknown. There was definitely some, you know, chatter just going there with a couple of their guys potentially having it and being on the list. So, I just know we don't want to be sitting around for a long time, especially when it comes to rain delays.
That's Disco Tony Rizzo talking yesterday before the game, talking about sitting around, his tweet about 8 hours of rain delays and not socially distanced, and Major League Baseball didn't really. Major League Baseball is 113 pages of protocol. And there you have no idea for rain delay, and you got the Marlins letting a shortstop make a decision when there's an outbreak in the clubhouse. I mean, this is just, again, Don Mattingly, through contact tracing, has tested positive for stupid, and other baseball looks that way. We now have the Cardinals, an update. Cardinals, 3 players, 3 staff members reportedly testing positive, being isolated from the team. Yesterday's game was canceled. Today's game against the Brewers was canceled. Tomorrow's doubleheader, nothing has been said about it, so it was rescheduled on Friday. It has been scheduled for tomorrow. Meanwhile, in Milwaukee, this news coming from Brewers general manager and director of baseball operations, David Stearns. Lorenzo Cain has informed us that he will not participate for the remainder of the 2020 season. We fully support Lorenzo's decision. We will miss his talents on the field and leadership in the clubhouse, period. Close quotes. So amid this chaos, amid this pandemic, let's talk about a great Yu Darvish outing. Let's talk about it with Evan Altman of Real Cubs Insider. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Evan, thank you for coming on today, and we're trying to balance normal baseball talk because the season has not been canceled officially, and yet update on why it looks like we're heading towards that. But anyways, Yu Darvish didn't look like the Yu Darvish from the start before. So for whatever length of time this baseball season goes, that should be a positive, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it has to be, and thanks for having me on. First of all, always good to be on to talk baseball here on an otherwise odd weekend. But to say the least, right? Let's we could pretend for a few minutes. But I thought it was really funny, and certainly Darvish tweeted about it as he always does. although the Google translation, it says that he stabbed the runner at first base, but I think he just meant he was picking off the runner, Adam Frazier, who he walked. And that's the thing. He started out thinking this outing, oh gosh, five-pitch walk to the leadoff hitter. Then he picked him off, didn't walk another batter at all, was really efficient. We see that from Darvish sometimes where he's got to catch his groove early. He did not do that his first outing. It was all over the place, didn't get help from C.B. Buckner. But yeah, Friday night, I mean, he just looked on point. He was finishing guys off, 98 on the black. So with that kind of velocity, when he's trusting his stuff and hitting his spots, he can be an ace. And if the Cubs get that, if he ever gets to make another start this season, I think that bodes really well for them.
Yeah, and I'm glad that, and I haven't heard an update, but I'm glad that he was smiling when he got hit in the butt and that ball ricocheted off to Javier Baez, who flung it over to first. So I hope he's okay, because we've known Yu Darvish to be a bit on the fragile side at times, but considering that he was smiling, considering where he got a hit, I think he was okay. So let's go from the start all the way to the finish in this one. Evan, and I know you were alive on Twitter last night just like I was. What do you make of
Mark?
Yeah, I know. What do you make of what Kimbrel did? And really the bigger question is, what are the consequences? Can you keep, is that it for Kimbrel in terms of high leverage, or you got to just keep giving him chances?
I think there's a point to which, and I know David Ross has talked about, knocking off the rust and making sure you give him some leash. But, we saw the first outing where he walks four guys and hits another one, gets one out. And then, there's last night, and that was my favorite part, is going from, oh, hey, he's throwing 97. This is good. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, there's a home run. Oh, next, uh-huh. There's another home run. And even his outs were really, really loud. I think every ball batted against him was over 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
And, I mean, when you're talking about a guy, so we heard early in the season that he was working on changeup. It's not the first time. He was actually working on one in 2015 in spring training when he was still with the Braves, right before he got traded to the Padres. He'd been throwing some in BP and was getting some swings and misses. He clearly doesn't trust that pitch, which is that should really tell you something, because no one else on earth trusts either his fastball or his curveball. So if he doesn't like the change, clearly something's not there. But the fastball just doesn't have the movement. Even if it's going 97, it is straight as an arrow, and the curveball doesn't have the same bite. So, a lot of people are talking about him tipping pitches and thinking that's the case. I don't believe that's the case at all. 97 is not unique in any way, shape, or form. I mean, we just saw Darvish was throwing 98, so your closer throwing 97 is nothing. And if he's just throwing it straight, they're sitting dead red and just waiting to get a fastball, and nobody's fooled by anything he's throwing up there. Unless he can make some significant changes to kind of liven up that curveball a little bit more, and if he's being a little bit smarter with the fastball, I don't even think he knows where the fastball is going half the time right now. And if he can't start fooling hitters, there's no way you could put him in there in anything even approaching a safe situation, because we've seen now the Cubs have snuck out of both those games that he's pitched, but he's made it a lot more interesting than it ever should have been. That's not something you could do in a 60-game season. It's just not possible. You got to put somebody else in there for the time being.
No, we know where the fastball is going. It's going into the bleachers. It's just a matter of what the lead is at the time. Evan, I think you've given us given us an idea for a new bit here. When you said 98 on the black, craft beer or garage band?
I know
beers play to your strength, but 98 on the block, that could be either one. So the idea of tipping pitches, I remember Billy Koch, you make a great point. Billy Koch would throw 100 miles an hour, and the Sox were so happy to have him. But he threw 100 mile an hour straight, just like Kimbrel's doing, with no movement, no late movement, no movement, period. Guys are going to catch up to that, and they're going to turn on it. So we're seeing David Ross, and it was always going to be his biggest decision. Mark and I talked about that a couple weeks ago. The bullpen determines a manager in so many ways. So we're seeing sort of an urgent facility of the way David Ross works, can work, what he wants to do. How do you judge him so far? And I realize we have a small sample size. But what do you think of the way he's done it, how he's doing it?
It's been a little bit up and down, certainly, and I think the execution of players, you know, at the end of the day, like we're seeing with Kimbrel, you know, that's perhaps going to color our visions of Ross, regardless of whether that's fair to him or not. But, you know, I do think in watching the games, and clearly this is all such an odd environment, and if you're, you know, there's thousands and thousands more people who are forced to watch at home now because we can't be at the ballpark. You know, whether you're a season ticket holder, you know, credentials aren't as readily handed out as they have been. There's just not as much going on. And so it's a little more difficult. But, you know, the vibe around the team really ever since 2016 has kind of fallen off. 2015, 2016, those were the teams Ross was a member of. It seemed from the outside as if the Cubs were just having a lot of fun. They were playing free and loose. And then you had sort of this more businesslike approach that they decided, you know, whether consciously or not, that they had to act like they'd been there before. And they couldn't just be kind of these carefree kids. And that, you know, maybe isn't back in the same sense as what we saw in 2015. But, it, you know, Javi Baez has talked about it. Anthony Rizzo's talked about it. You've seen it in the way they're reacting. And it just, the vibe seems better. And whether that's a matter of Ross being the leader or these guys coming together and sort of making those realizations on their own, the team feels different just from, again, from an outsider's perspective. And I think that, to me, is what you judge them on. And they appear to be more loose. The situational hitting looks better. They're making those plays that we kind of didn't really see from them as much. And so I think at this early juncture, you know, we're a week in, I would give him some really high marks for that. But if they can't collectively figure out what goes on after the starter leaves the game, then it doesn't really matter how much fun they're having. And nobody's going to have any fun because it's not nice to watch your closer go out there and walk five guys or give up two homers.
Doesn't
matter.
David Ross went down there and vouched for him. Oh, yeah, this guy's, oh, my God, that's just, that's, I don't want that on my resume.
Yeah, that's kind of the, he got the letter of recommendation for the new hire, and then he goes out and promptly embezzles funds, you know, and so how do you look at that point?
By the way, for the record, just a little sidebar record keeping here on this particular show, Evan. Steve Rosenblum was now brought up on the show today. Billy Koch and Nefi Perez have both gotten mentions in terms of examples. So I just wanted to.
Well, yeah, because, Nicky Delmonico is Renteria for Nefi Perez. That he just has to play the guy uselessly, a useless guy, and play him there the way Dusty played Nefi Perez. Works for me.
Yeah. That was his guy. There's no doubt about it.
Collecting baseball cards. Useless baseball cards.
Situational hitting. I love. Speaking of that, you brought that up, Evan. The Hayward two out, two run single. That's just big. I still get excited every time I see Hayward do something big. And I know he's gotten better since he's been with the Cubs. But when he does two out damage, that is big in my book. But the one that the particular situation that I loved was I think it was the third inning. Cubs had two on. Here's Javier Baez coming up to the plate. The big bat of Baez. He lays down a bunt, and the Pirates lose their damn minds, throwing the ball all over the place. I love that.
No, it was great. That was like a typical El Mago play. But, you know, what I really liked about that, too, is it was set up by the guys at the top of the order. Chris Bryant worked a full count walk. Anthony Rizzo works a full count, got hit by his 58th pitch of the season or whatever it was. I think he's up to six hit by pitches, and he's the active leader, tied with Shin-Soo Choo, I think. 151 times he's been hit, and probably most of those by the Pirates in the Clint Hurdle days. But when you have guys, and granted that was their second time through, but you've got those guys at the top waiting on their pitches, working those long at-bats, now you've got two men on. You know, nobody expects it from Javi, so of course he lays down a bunt and gets that run to come home. And that's the thing with, you know, that starts with Bryant being that leadoff hitterish guy, being able to kind of move on the bases, take his extra spots. And it was a great situation like that. And that's kind of going back to what I said. That's what we saw from the Cubs 2015, 2016. They would take advantages of what they saw out there. They would push the action. They would force it on other teams, score first, put the pressure on them, and not just kind of sit back and wait for things to happen. And that's what you want to see from these guys. You want to see them being aggressive, because look at what happened right there. It caused a run. It got that extra base. And Javi is one of the guys that can do that. And when he's batting behind people who are smart base runners and taking great plate appearances, it all really works out. And that, I think, kind of helped to open the door and kind of push Trevor Williams off his game a little bit, because he had looked pretty good through the first couple of innings. And then we saw, you know, kind of the real Trevor Williams emerge, and that was all thanks to Javi.
Forcing a team to make a play keeps your team, in this case the Cubs, on their toes, always looking for opportunities. Javi's a perfect example of that. That was really driven home at the end of 2015. Joe Maddon was stressing it, praising it, looking forward to it, and it made other teams nervous, and it made other teams forced to execute for stuff that they weren't capable of executing. And to start a season that way, even a truncated season, even a short season, but this feels like August baseball. It is August, but this feels like after you played 4 months. This reminds me of 2015 with the Cubs team, as you were saying, as you were describing of it. I really like the approach of bit better to make an out being aggressive than to stand there waiting for something to happen. I just think that makes your team better, and it's far more contagious in a good way than a contagious in a bad way.
Yeah, I don't know if contagious is the word that we want to use right now.
I'm going there. I played the contagious card.
Yeah, it's too late. It's a very positive development that they've got there. But it really is. But that's what we saw, and certainly you can't compare these things directly. But you know, if you look at sort of a catalyst for what happened in that early Joe Maddon season, the 2015, it was getting no hit by Cole Hamels. You know, that was kind of the point. I think it was right there at the end of July. It was kind of like, okay, cool. You know, this team has sort of reached its pinnacle. We get it. Regroup and come back next year, be fine. But instead, they took that and almost felt like they said, yeah, you know what? That's the low point, sort of, like, whether you look at that as a shutdown or all these questionable things. And they really kind of just took it upon themselves to press the action. And that's what we're seeing from this team early on, is that they've had a realization, you know, whether it comes to how they need to treat the protocols, how they need to work together as a team. They don't appear to be just a collection of individuals going out there, but they're out. And we see that when, you know, the bottom of the lineup has come up big a lot of times, and guys are taking their walks. You know, they're leaning into pitches and taking them, like Rizzo and Bryant have several times when they need to get on base however they can. And it sort of has that, again, that same little league vibe, again, where you can force the action, and you're not just going to take for granted that the other team will make a play. And those things, you know, Jason Kipnis hit a triple the other day because the ball got lost in the sun. Those things tend to happen when you're a team that is pressing the action and when you are being aggressive. The little breaks tend to go your way. And, you know, through seven games or a week and some change, the Cubs are doing that, where, you know, they felt a little bit more passive over the last few seasons. This is, you know, as a fan, just watching, that I think is kind of fun to see.
In the category, Evan, of things I never thought I would say, I am looking forward to watching Tyler Chatwood deal against the Pirates tonight. Are you looking forward to it? And what do you think he is, at least through one start, doing better than he had done in the past when we dreaded his starts, at least 2 years ago?
Yeah, I am very much looking forward to it, actually. It's which, again, is not something that you'd really expect, but I think some things kind of fell into place for him last season coming out of the bullpen. You know, there was some realization that he lost his starting job a couple seasons ago and was sort of in that swingman role. You know, I think, first of all, just having that confidence of sort of winning the spot, so to speak, in spite of all the weird things that are going on, you know, that gives a little confidence to him. I do think what we're seeing is a guy who, you know, whether it was his own expectation or those of the Cubs, you know, there's all this talk about his spin rate and his stuff and the movement and how, oh, well, the thin air in Colorado actually knocked some of that down. And so when he gets to Chicago, it'll all be so much better. And I think everybody kind of put too much in the physical side of things. And the expectation of getting that contract, I think, maybe weighed on him mentally. And it sort of feels like he's pitching maybe with a little bit less of that burden, that he's not trying to guide things so much, that he's not trying to just unleash this stuff, so to speak. And, you know, who knows where it's going to go. I mean, it just appears that he's a more confident pitcher out there. And while it would be nice to kind of point to all these analytical things and say what he's done mechanically, and he has simplified some things with his delivery, I think that helped tremendously. But I think really it's been even better for him to simplify things mentally, that he's just able to go out there and pitch rather than really trying to make everything happen each time he goes out there. And he does really have excellent stuff, and especially when the velocity's playing up, he's a guy who's really fun to watch as long as he's not walking batters. And, you know, that could change in a heartbeat, but I am excited to see how he follows up that first effort because, you know, so far the Cubs starters with a couple of hiccups have looked really, really good, and he's a big part of that.
Our guest is Evan Altman. He writes a Real Cubs Insider blog. You need to check that out. So check this out. I had a thought that struck me when Disco Tony Rizzo, the fun-loving Cubs first baseman, gets hit on the knee yesterday. And he's still standing, just standing there. That's it. It doesn't. And you see Doug Glanville tweeting that it was impressive on Glanville, impressive that A. Rizzo 44 stayed standing after getting hit on the knee. I remember that happened to me in Cincy and laying face down in the batter's box. I wanted to sleep there. So that's what Glanville said. And then Rizzo would drive in, would Kimbrel proof the game with a two-run RBI in the eighth. And this is a guy who beat cancer, a guy who survived. There was severe criticism he and Starlin Castro endured from Mike Quadi, that Mike Quadi was only the manager of the two young guys who were supposed to be part of the core and not the veterans who ran crazy. And then he became a captain of the team. He became the guy, but he's a fun-loving guy. He was in the middle of merriment and hijinks. But I want to give the guy credit for being every bit as tough as Bob Gibson and Frank Robinson looked. They always had this look on their face. They were mean. There was anger. There was ferocity. But so many parts of Anthony Rizzo's game and life tell you he's every bit that tough, but he's managed to balance it. He's certainly a terrific humanitarian. And I guess it shouldn't take a hit on the knee to clarify that, but it did seem to synthesize yesterday. Maybe you've known it, Evan, but this is a pretty remarkable human being we see on and off the field.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, but, you know, I think what really brought him to that sort of captainship or captaincy, whatever the proper term is, there was, you know, when he basically challenged the entire Reds dugout to a fight when he got upset. And that was when the Cubs weren't even really good yet, right? And but you know, as you said, too, so here's a guy who, you know, his back was holding him out of games. And this is, it's always kind of funny because this happens every year, literally for the past several, that, you know, he's got some back issues and everybody throws their hands up in worry. And then, you know, he comes back, his first exhibition at bat, hits a home run, and he's continued to do so. I mean, this is a guy who's clearly been forced to play through some of that stuff. And anybody who's dealt with back issues, particularly if they're chronic, can tell you that alone, if you know a guy's able to go out there and produce the way he has as consistently as he has for as long as he has, that should tell you something. But yeah, when he took that shot, I think it was a 93 mile an hour fastball, and it was right there on the inside of his back knee, his left knee. And so there's no protection there. You know, he's not wearing a knee pad. Doesn't have a brace on it. That's right on the bone. That among other things that you see, like Darvish getting hit on the backside with the ball. You know, that we can all kind of relate to that. Get hit on the bone with the ball, not fun. But yeah, for him to continue through that and for him to be very vocal, whether it be with social media, you know, during the rainout, with the Reds, he's tweeting at Major League Baseball to say, mm-hmm. Hey, I don't know what the protocols call for us to be all in the clubhouse together for 8 hours at a time. You're like, maybe you should bang this game early and let's move on for the sake of safety. So I think he's someone who's using that platform, not just within his team, but I think to try to affect change on a bigger scale. And that speaks volumes for him, you know, and then again, to go out and to continue to perform and to be outspoken about what the Cubs are trying to do as far as the protocols, especially at a time when we're seeing maybe some other teams being a little bit more lax about it. he's not just a leader in Chicago or on the North Side. That's expanding beyond. And I think that's really been cool to see, like you said, how he's able to balance all that. And then at the same time, you know, he's still that smiling guy. He's still showing up and trying to help out with frontline workers, with kids in hospitals. He's a hard guy not to love.
You know, all that said, man, and it made me want to take a slightly different direction with Rizzo, because he laid it out really well. Do you think he's a Cub for life? Do you think they should give him the big money extension? I mean, we know he's 30, but we also know that guys can – we've seen it with Encarnacion and some of these other guys. They can slug late in their careers. Do you think he's going to be a Cub for life, or should be?
Could and should are definitely – I think there's you know, especially if we take either of those and, you know, make them into cents and dollar signs, I think those would be the mitigating factors there. I think, you know, you're looking at a whole slew of guys who, if, you know, you let the fans vote, obviously you'd rather keep all those guys. Rizzo, Bryant, Javi Baez, Contreras, Schwarber. I mean, they're all up within the next couple of years, and that's a lot of money. You know, I do think, though, when you look at him, and certainly we talked about the things already that Baez brings to the table, but in looking at Rizzo as sort of this community figure and as a guy who really is sort of that team captain, I wonder, and I probably lean more toward the side of being, I believe in the idea of chemistry and leadership, perhaps more than some folks who might be, you know, solely analytically minded. But I kind of wonder if Rizzo is one of those guys who the synergy and the sum of the parts and all that sort of thing. I think you take him off this team, you're actually going to lose a lot more than just what shows up in the box score. So I think the Cubs are smart.
Well, and his box score is pretty damn good. His box score is pretty damn good too. Still, right. You know what I mean? Like
that's a big loss. So,
yeah.
I don't want to sell him short there. He's a tremendous, all star, gold, platinum glover, but he brings so much more. Yeah, should they extend him? Absolutely, but I could say that about five other guys, and I think we've seen the way that they've operated lately is maybe not that they're willing to spend that money quite yet. So I don't know how that changes maybe after this season, or if the Mookie Betts thing impacts any of that. Hmm. But yeah, he should stick around for many more years.
Okay, so let me clarify something. Evan Altman, our guest, he writes the CubsInsider.com blog. You can get it at CubsInsider.com. His Twitter handle is Real Cubs Insider. Evan, thank you for joining us, and I apologize for mixing them up, but I'm just a doddering old man whose neurotransmitters have turned into meringue at times. So please accept my apology.
Meringue.
We look forward to having meringue. Yeah, we look forward to
not
having
a problem.
You back.
Hey, I'm glad. As long as those stiff white peaks will hold firm for a little while longer, you're good to go with that meringue.
There we go. Thank you. Evan Altman.
All right. Take care, guys.
CubsInsider.com is his blog. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do What Are You Doing, Wagner? We have update on sports gossip as requested by Julie Swyka. So I really think when we're doing all request radio, when we're doing sports gossip, we've reached the zenith of Saturday suckage. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thank you for listening. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To done. Watch out.
Threw him out of the ballgame. You gotta be beeping me. What in the hell are you doing? What are you doing, Wagner? You gotta be kidding me. That is so bad. That is absolutely brutal.
That's incredible.
That is unbelievable. I'll tell you what. They have got to start making guys be accountable. That is totally absurd. That just tells you he has blue. Here's an umpire in the American League knows nothing about the game of baseball. That's unbelievable. We have always had problems with this guy right here.
The segment that is sweeping the nation, what are you doing, Wagner? What we're doing it right now here on The Score. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde. Saturday 2nd, what are you doing? We're taking a look at what people are doing during the pandemic. Just seems odd, out of place. Just interesting stuff. So one thing they were doing, Julie Swieka, Score alum, is puttering around her kitchen listening to us, baking no doubt. Actually baking, you know, Mark, we talked about it, and her baking is just so underplayed that she makes art. Having seen pictures of that, she makes art, food art. But she's big into gossip. She's big into sports gossip. So her question was, what do we know about Vanessa Morgan and Michael Kopech? Kind of a weird story, not much reported on it, right? Mm-hmm. So I go right to my gossip expert, my diva. My daughter works for E! Channel. I said, so what do you guys have on this week? So the diva texted back, he filed for divorce, but he's definitely the father of the baby. We don't know why they're splitting though, but it got weird and suspicious when she posted her pregnancy announcement and said, quote, my baby, and didn't mention him at all. Docs are sealed, but apparently it was filed in his hometown in Texas, and his dad is his lawyer. So, whatever that means to you, Julie Swieka, there's your update from the diva on the Vanessa Morgan, Michael Kopech. That's what they're doing. They're doing their divorce dance, and she's pregnant, and he's the father.
Man,
so yeah,
I wonder if it was Ben Zobrist who kind of set the precedent or a new precedent in terms of how at least baseball players deal with having to go through divorce and making themselves present, because if they're not present, then they lose things like custody and lose ground in court. So it's interesting that we've seen this now from a couple, obviously completely different circumstances for both,
yeah.
And I do wish them both well. But I think it's good that, you know, you have fathers, husbands being responsible in that regard and saying, yep, I'm stepping away from my job and I am present. I am here because I want to be.
Well, you've seen more a willingness and even contractual terms to cater to paternity leave. Whereas before, a guy got made fun of for being wanting to be with his wife while she was giving birth. And he was around the NFL. He was pilloried. Because, you know, in the NFL, they're real tough. They're football players. They're football coaches. It's football. Football all the time. Everything's football, football, football. That's all they know is football. They're not... They still don't want to act like human beings a lot of time. But you're right. That is a central part of it. And teams have understood that. Now we have another piece of sports gossip, Mark. But I will put the ultimate question to you at the end of this.
Okay.
I promised Julie this... NFL gossip. We have another breakup to discuss, Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick. They've broken up.
I didn't know they were still together.
They were together until recently. They broke up. They did the usual thing where you have to issue statements or your people issue statements.
Uh-huh.
So, do you think the Illinois race car driver is accepted back into Bears Nation now? After her dalliance with the Packers quarterback,
I think she owes us an explanation. Like, what were you thinking?
You have to tell us everything about your private life if you want to be a Bears fan.
Yeah, here's all she has to do is just take it, even if it's through a publicist or maybe the diva can make this happen. Just take a couple of shots at Aaron Rodgers, just a couple little digs, and then you're totally welcome back.
Okay. All right. So, as usual on our What Are You Doing, Wegner, I want to check in with the Let Me Put Together a List podcast. And I just love the modern way that your top 10 list became like the big 10 has 14 teams, so your top 10 list now has 12 spots on it. why don't you share with me? And one of them doesn't even belong. One of them is like the Rutgers of this list. How is Panera a fast food place? There's nothing fast about it.
I don't know. That's a good point. And I was on with Lawrence Holmes, and he asked the exact same question. And I, for whatever it's worth, when we do the list, the top 12 list, and that was my podcast partner Brian Mitchell's idea, because, you know, we want to be unique in our list making, you know, since it's such a unique concept to be building a list. We want to at least make sure we're doing different numbers than 10. So we did 12. And so we actually have a computer algorithm that kind of spits out the ones from which we choose. So when it does that and something like Panera comes out as a fast food, we just roll with it. And then if we want to replace it in our individual list, we can't. But I will just say this. That was my number 12. I got to select first, and I was like, all right, let's get Panera off this damn board. Because you're right. It's not – because, yeah, there's many – like, Panera's good. It's very good. It's just not what you think of when you think of fast food. So, yeah, that is the one that is up and running right now. Let me put a list together. I know the easiest place to find the link right now, just go to my Instagram page at Mark Rohde, and you can find the link for that. And I appreciate you listening to it. Doesn't cost you anything. Very simple to listen to wherever you find your podcast. So that's up and running right now. Top 12 fast foods, and there's controversy surrounding two restaurants. I'll just say this, McDonald's and Chick-fil-A. So give that a listen. The one we're going to build next week is going to be a blast, man, because as you know, Stevie Sunshine, because I know you're a music guy, virtual Lollapalooza is happening right now. So in honor of that, we are going to build a list of I don't know how many, we'll see, maybe 11, our favorite 11 Lollapalooza bands from the 90s. So we're going
to
make
it to 11.
There you go. To 11. So that is the list we are going to build. That'll be up and running on Tuesday, Lollapalooza. And if I can give one recommendation to Chris Cornell, who died, God, I don't remember when now exactly. I always mess these things up. 3 years ago. The lead singer of Soundgarden, as people probably know. His daughter is a singer as well, and she just crushed. You can see it online, a cover of Pearl Jam's Black. It is just awesome. So I would direct you to that. And I can't think of her name right off. That she is a Cornell. I just don't know what her first name is. Maybe the Trash Panda knows. But I would suggest that you look that up. Cornell's daughter doing Black by Pearl Jam is so awesome.
Okay. All right.
Her name's Tony, by the way. Tony.
Okay.
Tony
Cornell.
Okay. Tony Cornell. She can sing. She's got some daddy-o chops for sure.
Okay. I wanted it to be like what we were talking to Evan Altman last, craft beer or band or garage band, 98 on the Black. I just think that's what you should do with your Lala list. But you're doing Lala bands from the 90s.
Yes. Grody, I expect Rage Against the Machine to be rather high in that list. If it's not, then we're going to have some issues.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's going to be hard because, yeah, of course, Rage has got to be up there. Obviously, Pearl Jam, I've seen them multiple times, Lollapalooza, Soundgarden. I'll tell you, one of the pop-up bands that I saw, like it was not a big stage band when I saw them, but one of my favorite Lollapalooza moments of all time, it was circa Chicago, like the present version of it, the one that is normally in Grant Park, I don't know, maybe 7, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, Cypress Hill doing like a small show, like in just one of the pop-up tents, and it was just unbelievable. And I know Cypress Hill is big. It's not like they're a small band, but it was just like one of the cooler moments of any Lollapalooza I've been to.
Okay, will there be 10 or 17 or 5?
Now that we're talking about it, I don't know. Like, somebody just put up Jane's Addiction. Yeah, I mean, of course Jane's Addiction. Even, like... Hell, like I used to go to Lollapalooza when it was a traveling circus, when it wasn't just in one place. And I remember seeing people knew who Pearl Jam was, but they certainly were not the big act. But that's when they first caught my eye. I'm like, what is this? This, I like that. So it's gonna be tough. Tool, somebody puts up there. Hell yeah, there's a lot of bands. So the top 30 Lollapalooza bands of the 90s will be our list on Tuesday. 30.
Okay, I don't know how you guys got past number one. There was the fast food thing. There is no more perfect meal than a McDonald's triple cheeseburger and McDonald's fries and McDonald's real Coke, because nobody does Coca-Cola better than McDonald's.
Yeah.
Only better Coca-Cola, because they ice the lines, they ice the ice, they ice everything. It's the perfect Coca-Cola. The only thing better is the bottled Coke with real sugar instead of the high fructose corn syrup. McDonald's fries are the best. McDonald's triple cheeseburger is the bomb diggity. I don't know how you got past number one. Everything else is just, I guess, because you had to fill out 11 other spots.
Well, I'll just give it away. My number one is McDonald's. Absolutely. Like, I think people, I think people overthink it sometimes. When they're like, oh, McDonald's, it's because it's just so present. Right. But sometimes it's okay to go with the popular band. You know what I'm saying? Like, go with the popular song. Go with McDonald's, there's no other answer.
I gotta tell you guys, I hate McDonald's. Right. I think it's the worst. I can't stand it. I also worked there for a brief period in college, so I'm a little biased. Can't stand it. Don't like it at all. I never go
there. What's your go-to then?
Wendy's.
Okay. Actually number one on our collective draft list. That ended up being number one.
Wendy's, T-Bell, Taco Bell is also extremely high on my list. Those are really the only two to me. I don't really recognize any other fast food restaurants outside of like of the big like national chain ones, you know.
Did you just call it T-Bell?
Yeah. That's what when I text people, that's usually what I say, just because I'm a millennial and we have to keep everything as short as possible. Dude. So Taco Bell, whatever.
Jesus Christ. That's like you having your shirt off in your Facebook. But that is what that is akin to. Yo, bro, you want to go get some T-Bell? Wait, yo, let me take this burdensome shirt off first, bro, yeah. So I can flex a little bit.
Let's go to Bro-Bell.
Yeah. I was just talking to someone LA, about though. Taco Bell last night. I'm sorry. I put T-Bell in the Snapchat.
Yeah, because taco is like, that's exhausting to say the one syllable, or actually two syllable word.
And you're going to order a chestalata, aren't you? So if this were LA, we would be doing In-N-Out Burger, and then nothing would be number two. So that's the way that works. It's just a matter of geography.
Yeah, we don't want to make it too, of course, those are all honorable mentions, for sure.
The Phillies-Yankees game, scheduled for Monday, has been postponed. I just wanted to pass that along. Lorenzo Cain has opted out for the Brewers, updating the baseball stuff. And at last report, six Cardinals personnel, three players, three staff members have tested positive. And the Cardinals are scheduled to play a doubleheader tomorrow, but nobody knows if that's on. Nobody knows much of anything. Here's a text from Josh Lindblom, a pitcher for the Brewers, who is responding to Ken Rosenthal, who tweeted out, source confirms Brewers Cardinals postponed, as John Heyman said. So Josh Lindblom, the Brewers pitcher, retweeted it with this comment. Hey, Ken, can you check with your sources and see if we have a workout today and what time stretch will be?
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing.
All right, our guy Rex Chapman tweeted this in What Are You Doing, Wegner? He retweeted a sign was spotted in London. It's, you know, one of those chalkboards. Two-sided chalkboard standing out in front of a restaurant, and the sign says, "All Americans must be accompanied by an adult." Boom, got all of that one. Got all of that.
Burn!
Yeah. Fair. So, Hockey Night at Hockey Night is a Twitter site that you should follow. It's got a great sense of humor, and we spoke a couple of weeks ago when the new Seattle team revealed its name and some of its logoing and images, the Seattle Kraken, the newest NHL team.
Yeah.
And he suggested this Hockey Night Twitter feed suggested they should have gone with the Seattle Karen. We're coming to speak to your manager. All right. We got to take a break. We have more stuff from What Are You Doing, Wegner, when we come back. It's Rosenblum and Grody. It's Saturday Suckage. Top of the hour, we'll talk some Bears with J.J. Stankovic. And also next hour, we'll talk with Jay Zawoski, Scores hockey expert. The Hawks are going to begin their five-game series against the Oilers today.
The Hawks.
Hard Hawk hockey. And we'll talk to Jay about those Hawks, their chances, and everything else. Saturday Suckage, thanks for listening. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Wegner has no clue.
Uh-huh. What are you doing, Wegner? Rosenblum and Grody, Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. We're just not good enough to make suck so baseball doesn't have to. So we'll keep on top of whatever there needs to be updated. Cubs are playing, Sox are playing, so we'll see how long they get to play. Mark, Jason Carter is Senator Carter from Georgia. He tweeted, "My grandfather is 95. He's been president." Now, he's talking about Jimmy Carter, and there's a picture of 95-year-old former President Jimmy Carter sitting next to Senator Carter, and they're at a ball game. He tweets, "My grandfather's 95. He's been president and still has a Ronald Acuna Jr. action figure on his desk."
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what I love about Jimmy Carter? I really love about Jimmy Carter is that he keeps
What's
on
that?
Being alive. He keeps on being alive.
Keeps like on I, being I, alive.
You know what I mean? Like, I keep forget, like, it's horrible, but sometimes I forget that he's alive, and I'm like, no, that's great. That's all, like, it's always sad when we lose presidents, as we lost who was the most recent with George Bush Sr., right? And it's like, well, Jimmy Carter is still alive. So I like that he's always alive.
The before we break for this and we get to J.J. Stankovitz and talk some Bears, Amy Trask is the former CEO of Al Davis's Raiders. She's the author of the book You Negotiate Like a Girl, and she's on CBS. And she had recently sent out a note to former Notre Damer and former Raider Tim Brown, the Hall of Fame receiver. And she tweeted out this: I once said to Al, meaning Al Davis, that we drafted Tim Brown in the first draft after I joined the team full time. So it's like we were in the same draft class. Al's reply: Tim was a first round pick. You were a street free agent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
get tough
rasp.
And get out. That's the way. And she was good. She was good. She was tough. She's that one.
Yeah, and married to Tuukka Rask, right?
Amy Trask is married to Tuukka Rask?
I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wow.
Sorry.
Okay.
Well, that went way over
his head. I just brought the show to a
way
halt. That's
over your
on
head.
Me. No, it wasn't even over his head. It was just kind of confounding and confusing what I just said. I am sorry.
I was picking
was.
Up what you were throwing down.
Yeah, it was just weird. That was unnecessary. I should have just
Amy
shut up.
Amy Trask Rask. Yeah,
there
that
you
would
go.
Have been yeah. where it got. And Tuukka Rask looks like Joni from Happy Days,
yeah.
So, which is a whole bad thing.
Very
all
possible.
Right, let's take a break. When we come back, something that Mark and I can mutually understand, and that would be Bears football, although I'm not sure I understand what Matt Nagy is doing and saying and how this is going to happen, but we're going to talk about that. Saturday Suckage. Thanks for listening. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.